After hearing the words of Brother Hugh Hannum, why I know I'm welcome. And those, when I see your faces, why I know I'm welcome again. So it's a joy to be here. I'm very grateful for the privilege of being with you. Our brethren down at Salem asked Sister Parsons and I to bring their love to all of you, so I want to deliver that to you first. When we heard the manna this morning, I believe it was considered the lilies of the field. And as you think about that, it sounds like the Lord was giving us a thought that we don't have to take any thought for the morrow. But thought for the morrow is uppermost in nearly everybody's mind today. And in one way, we ourselves should have a thought for the morrow. The Lord, I think, means no anxious thought, but our thought for the morrow really is more important than the worries of the world and their fear of what's coming. Because, as Brother Huey said, it is serious. The position that we are in, the privileges of the truth, are serious, and our thoughts are very much on the morrow. So when we think we might use that as our thoughts for the morrow, for our talk this morning, as we sang that hymn, "Tell Me Not of Gold or Treasure," that is the thought of the morrow for most of our friends in the world today, is, can I accumulate enough gold or treasure to carry me through? There's their thought for the morrow. And there are many thoughts of that kind going through the minds. And when we think of treasures, treasures to me, and I believe to you, are something that are very precious to me personally. Treasures, you think, well, there's a box or there's a drawer upstairs. I've got some treasures in it. And treasures are more than that. They're treasures that maybe we are laying up for our children, thoughts for the morrow for them. And I think Brother Huey said something about a sponge. We come here to soak up. But he says, let's not forget that we want to be able to squeeze out what we have received. And there, I like that, because whatever we have, if we don't give it out, I don't believe it's going to do us very much good. It's giving out. It seemed like it was when the Apostle Paul was leaving his dear friends, elders in the Ephesus church. He said, remember, it's more blessed to give than to receive. So with these thoughts, we want to read to you Matthew 6:19 to 21. And our morning manna was about in the 30th verse or something like that. Matthew 6:19-21, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust will corrupt, and where thieves will break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust will corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. If our treasures could be kept where moth and rust would not corrupt, or where thieves could not steal them from us, why, we'd feel pretty safe, wouldn't we? We should feel safe. Because he said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We hope our heart are on the heavenly treasures, and we hope daily that I do, and I know you do, that we are laying up heavenly treasures for us daily. Well, we think of treasures from an earthly standpoint. First, you'd think of possessions, a bank account, property, a home, assurance that we have as long as we live here, we can be well taken care of, and our children will also be taken care of. And it's a worry to those that have such a worry, whether they have enough or whether they're handling it right. But if we have worked hard all our lives, if we have saved and our investments have been such that have brought right returns, possibly we could have something laid up. If we've used good business judgment, and if we put our education to good use, and if we had had an inheritance, maybe that's where sometimes it comes to us. Or if we have been dishonest, we might have something. So there is a way that possibly some could have possessions, wealth, and bank account. Well, if that is laid up for me personally, it isn't so good. If it's really with the thought of laying that up, if it is for others, and we're not too selfish to give it away where it would be used rightly, then I believe it'd be a blessing to us. So in some of our thoughts this morning, we want to stress on that whatever we have, say, of this world's goods, if it is selfishly hoarded, it will do us no good. It's not good. So if the main purpose of wealth would be to lay it up for a hoped-for happiness, it's many times a disappointment, isn't it? The Apostle Paul, in writing to Timothy 6 and 10, the love of money, he said, is the root of all evil. And I believe that we could see how that is. If you accumulate wealth, immediately there's power in that, and how are you going to use that? There is power in wealth, and that is where many people, in amassing fortunes, they just can't have enough because they always want more power. You don't think of a character like that, do you? He would like to ascend to the sides of the north to be like the Most High, a spirit of wanting more for him, for myself. We don't want that spirit. And then again, in 2 Timothy 3, 1 and 2, the apostle says, in the last days, in these very days where we're living now, perilous times shall come. Why? Because men shall be lovers of their own selves. Covetous. That's the word. I think that covers it like everything. Covetous. Covetous and boasters, proud and so forth. Seems like the thought of covetous is that's the real selfishness that we must avoid. There's a good thought here that the Lord gives us in Luke's account, the 12th chapter of Luke, and the 13th and the 14th verses. One of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. Well, he comes up to him and he said, my brother's got some, he's got an inheritance, and I didn't have any of it. I think here is a man that's just, he will see that I get some of it. And Jesus said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? He said unto them all, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Could that be true? I thought that's the way it was. I thought that's the way we're measured in this world. How much he got? Oh, he's got a lot. Well, then. Well, fine, I want to know him. I'd like to know that one if he has a lot. I've heard it say that many times those that come from a foreign land to this country, why, seems like that's the way they judge people here. How much he got? What does he have? Well, there's a thought following this too. If you want to leave that out. Then he spake a parable unto them. This is continuing in the 12th chapter of Luke and the 16th verse. Then he said a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. A lovely lesson and a very pointed lesson for us. You think of how much we can take out of this world, you turn to Job. Job says, Naked I came into this world and naked I'm going out. So there's no use of laying it up to take away with us. I think of that parable of the sower where some of the seed fell among thorns. And what happened? It came up, the thorns came up, and it was choked. And he said, what is the meaning of that? Well, he said, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. The cares of this world are not only the worries of this world, but the things that we kind of personally care for, the good things of this life that is pleasant to have. The cares of this world, and sometimes our family and our business, they are real cares to us. And then he said, the deceitfulness of riches. Well, why did the Lord say, there's no deceitfulness in riches, is there? That's just plain as can be. If I've got plenty in my pocket, why, I'm all right. I'm all fixed. There's nothing. Oh, wait a minute. The Lord said it's deceitful. Riches is very deceitful. It is not satisfying to the soul of man. Seemed like the more they have, the more they want, and the less happy, actually, they are. So it's, you might ask, Brother, is it wrong to have something? Well, you decide that. Of course, we know that there not only is there riches of gold and those things, possessions, but there are other riches that we have. As I look at you today, you have one thing. We have all one thing in common, which is a wonderful blessing, the Lord. We have life. I wonder sometimes if we appreciate life itself. We have that, and then I think of the next to that would be health. Well, there is where we are not on equal ground. Some of us have real good health. Others have poor health. But those are things that are good. If they are good, we have them. They are riches. We have a home and a family and many of these things that are wonderful that we have. The Lord is very good to us, and these are treasures for us. And if we are not covetous in our use of what we have, if it isn't turned always towards ourselves, if it can be turned toward others, I believe there's a blessing for us in that. Because we're told not to lay up treasures upon earth for yourselves, where moth and rust doth corrupt. That's peculiar words, moth and rust. Why did the Lord use a picture of that? We know what a moth is. It's a little worm, you know, that the moth lays, and it starts eating a little hole in your coat, and then for long it's gone. It's no good. Rust is another thing. Rust is a sort of an oxidation of metal, of iron, and if it's left out in the elements, why, it'll go bad fast, won't it? This red rust collects on it. Well, he didn't mean just that, did he? Well, sometimes, you know, we can just open up our dictionary and get a good thought. You wonder why Webster was so smart on some of these things. This is what he said about moth. Of course, he did say it's a little worm there, too. But anything which gradually and silently eats, consumes, or wastes any other thing. Silently consumes or wastes. It's something that's taking away value without our noticing it. And what's rust? To impair by time and by inactivity and by neglect. Rust works very rapid sometimes if you don't use a machine. Someone told me one time that in shipping a press, printer's press across the country, they just smear grease over it. And even then sometimes there'll be parts of it that'll be rusted by the time it gets across the continent. How careful they are. And still, rust is an agency there that goes to work immediately. So these illustrate agencies operating continually to waste all things of this present life. That's what moth and rust is doing, silently eating, consuming, taking away. Time will do it sometimes. Some of the friends, for instance, they get weary because the kingdom isn't here. And so they forget their activity in the Lord's service. If we're active, we're not going to rust out anyway, are we? That's one good saying. There is an agency that will not fail. I like this. In Hebrews, the first chapter, and the 10th to the 12th verses. Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. And it seems to me here is the thought of the creation of Adam and Eve and the human society here on the earth. The heavens that were the works of his hands are the result of the spiritual control. Here we have society and we have the spiritual control of this present day. But what about them? They shall perish. Oh, they will perish, but thou remainest. Thou, Lord, remainest. Well, that sounds like a good bank. Thou, Lord, remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up. They shall be changed, but thou art the same. Thy years shall not fail. Thy years. Who is that? Our glorified Lord. He was the agent in creation, and he is going to be a depository so that we can, if we can create a treasure that can be rest with him, he will protect that treasure. I hope we can do that. So have our hopes in him. We realize the present heavens, the present earth, the present evil order of things under Satan will perish, is dissolving now and is rusting away, falling apart. There's going to be a new heavens and a new earth under our glorified Lord and Master, which will soon supplant the old. Surely we can be grateful for that. Well, from the world's viewpoint, of course, laying up treasures for old age is that is a life work, and if we could just have it done right, why, we can just sit back in our old age and enjoy those things that we've looked forward to. We've never enjoyed it through our working years because it was pretty hard for us. But now, during the closing years of our age, we can just enjoy these things. Well, you wonder, moth and rust is operating both in the world and in the Lord's people if we don't watch out. There are things that consume away and take away the pleasures, take away the interest and the security we have in anything in this earth. There are very few of earth's dead and dying millions that have found delight, actually, in laying up that treasure, that have had the joy that they expected from it. It was interesting while they were doing it, but they never had what they hoped to have. So the treasures of wealth, fame, social class, houses, lands, power, influence, and even our friends, our home, and our family, they're all subject to these changes and decay. Well, Solomon, what does he say? It's all vanity. It's vanity. Solomon had everything. He just had wealth. He had everything possible. And when he got through, he said, friends, it's just all vanity. It's shallow. There's nothing to it. So all these hopes and these things are transitory and all can be swept away in a night. Well, let's see if we can look at some of the things that will endure. How can we lay up treasures that will be secure where moth and rust cannot destroy and thieves break through and steal? Well, in this same chapter, no, it's the next chapter. It's the 13th chapter of Matthew. In Matthew, the 13th chapter. I thought we were there, but we weren't. Matthew 13, following the parable of the sower, there are several parables the Lord gave there. He asked the disciples, do you understand these things? Well, you know what you'd say. Oh, yes, I understand them, Lord. Well, do you really understand what I'm talking about? Oh, yes, Lord, we do. Well, I want to give you a thought here. In Matthew 13, 50, one where he said, yes, Lord, we understand. Then he said unto them, therefore, every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. A scribe. I believe the Lord is really giving us something here, so we might look up and see, what is a scribe? Well, in olden times, a scribe was of the tribe of Levi, and they were instructed in the law. They had the scrolls, they had the writings, and they were scribes. They were to continue to write and make available for others the law. And they could tell you what was in the law. They had it pretty well in their mind. I believe they were a fine class of people to start with. Although the Lord didn't speak very kindly to them, did he? He seemed to class them in the scribes, the Pharisees, the hypocrites. What had happened? Well, it seems like going down through from the inception of the scribes that the priestly class and others had added to the law. They had written their own books. Is the Talmud? I don't know for sure. But anyway, they had their own writings, and they not only interpreted these things to suit themselves, but they added too. And by the time they got down to our Lord's day, they were far from what God gave to Moses, instructions there. And they were condemned by Jesus, along with the Pharisees and the hypocrites. They no doubt started out right, because in 1 Chronicles, the 4th chapter, and the 9th and 10th verses, there's a little thought given there that possibly Jabez, he was one of the tribe of Judah there, could have been one of the early scribes. Here is a recorded prayer of Jabez, the sorrowful. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, or my influence, or my border, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Why, what a wonderful prayer that is. If I could be a proper scribe and have more influence with my brethren, and then that you would guide my hand in what I say, in my mouth and what I do. So if we could be a proper scribe, what did he say here? Therefore, every scribe which is instructed in the kingdom of heaven. Oh, now we're getting now down to home. Are you instructed in the kingdom of heaven? Surely we have instructions of the kingdom of heaven. If you are that, then you would be like unto a householder that, like the farmers, built big barns and fill them full. You'd be like unto a man that is an householder which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. Well, that's different than hoarding, isn't it? This, if you're a proper scribe and have been instructed properly in the kingdom of heaven, you're going to bring things forth. That, I like that good. That's good for us. So, if we have a rulership over goods, which we have, we want to bring them forth. That will be pleasing to the Lord. Whatever we have, then, of our life, our health, our home, our family, our possessions, if we are properly instructed in the kingdom of God, the kingdom message, the knowledge of the divine plan of the ages, we will use our life, our health, our possessions, our home, we'll use what we have as servants of the Lord, carrying out our covenant by sacrifice. Then what will, if we do that, what will we have? We're not setting our affections on things here, are we? But that would be setting our affections on things above. Well, how would that be if we give out, how could we do that? If we bring out of this household the treasures, new and old, new. What did the Lord say? A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. That is new, isn't it? Well, what are the old things? Well, what did our Lord have? He said the scriptures were open to him, and they've been open to us. We see the prophecies of the Old Testament. We see the promises of the glorious kingdom, the restitution. Those things were old even when our Lord came, weren't they? He brought those out. And it seemed like when he said things new and old, why, we've just about covered everything that is ours. Well, some might say, I just can't seem to talk very well. Sometimes I meet somebody and get a chance to visit with them, but I just can't bring around, I can't talk to them, but just as soon as I get in the kingdom, then I'll have the powers the Lord will give me, and then really I can. I wonder if we aren't missing it now. If we can't, we have some talents, brethren. I know we do. Every one of us, or else, why did the Lord call you and me if we didn't have something? So whatever we have, we'll try and develop and use those now. Someone gave us a thought a while back. If we expect to work with our master in the kingdom, now is the most wonderful time there is to practice. Just practice all we can. That, another way, we can lay up treasures in heaven. Then we might say, laying up treasures in heaven, how can we do that? But I believe that is really a law of God. As we give, as we do for others, it comes to us. You could probably think of a scripture like that too. Is there one like you cast your bread on the waters, it'll return unto you again? Is that something like that? Giving, thank you. That's right. And that's a secret that the Lord is telling us that many don't know. That's a secret. Like Brother Huey says, there are secrets we try to tell people, but it doesn't do them much good. So each time the new creature in use of his new mind triumphs in the using of these things for others, as a good householder, having possession of these things, and do it in the spirit of love for others, that new mind is developing love, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Those are given to us, I believe, in Galatians. Those are treasures in heaven, dear brethren. And that's one way. You probably know of other ways you can lay up treasures in heaven. But I think of that, of doing for others, giving to others, and thinking of others rather than thoughts coming to us. Covetousness, instead of that, the new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another and do for others. We could quote here from the Pastor Russell's writings of 1910 Tower, "Earthly things are not to be the treasures of their souls, but merely their servants, conveniences, always ready for use, for every emergency, freely, wholeheartedly." When we do give it, do we give it wholeheartedly? Do we love to do it? Do we smile when we do it? It's a joy, isn't it? Then we're going to have something come to us. He who follows this course will rarely have large earthly wealth. Only by making wealth a treasure and setting upon it inordinate desire can one become miserly or very rich. It isn't just money, is it? There are many things that we can be selfish with, covetous, desiring for ourselves. It's something we fight all our lives, and if by the Lord's grace we can overcome some of this selfishness, why, it'll be a praise to the Lord, because we can't do it without His help. No, and that isn't just our possessions, our bank account, or what we have there. It's our talents. It's our time. There are many things. And earthly joys, sometimes we give up. Earthly joys that we would enjoy. Maybe somebody else can share them or have a greater joy by our dividing or giving to them. And everything that is pure, holy, and good that we can accomplish in our life while we're here will be acceptable as heavenly treasure. Well, you mean we're putting something up in heaven? We're depositing something up there? We can't put anything up there. We can't do it at all. Well, what's it say? What do you mean? Our Lord and Master is laying it up there for us. Well, is it up there? I think it's right here. Our new mind is a creation of God, isn't it? Even Adam was a creation. Our life isn't ours. It belongs to God. These things are not ours. And this new creation is our Heavenly Father's, and He is developing in your mind and mine something that He wants later on. That will be a treasure to Him. If that is properly developed, it's going to be a joy throughout all eternity. That's treasure in heaven. That's all we can work on, isn't it? That's all we have. We can't lay anything up in heaven. It's in our new mind. It's the character, the development of a character that our Heavenly Father is watching us daily. When He has called you and me, He has a purpose in it. And there's something in us, some way, if we yield to Him and work with Him, He can be able to use forever. We hope we will be able to do that. And then there are treasures, of course, we have. That's a personal love and friendship with our Heavenly Father and our Lord. And that's still here, isn't it? Well, can any destroying agencies affect these treasures? That's what we want to know. What about moth and rust that's going to work on this? Now, there we're daily adding, putting in something there in our new mind. What about the moth and rust? How can we avoid that? Can that moth and rust steal it from it? Well, let's steal it. Well, there is a wily adversary. There is the world, our own flesh. Those things are working continually against us. But will the Lord fail us? I want to read here. You know that Romans 8, isn't it? Romans 8. What can separate us, or who can separate us from the love of Christ? Will moth and rust come in to separate us from the love of Christ? Well, shall tribulation, or will distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Then he says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities. He's just covering everything here. These are the powers that assail us, even the spiritual powers. Powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Height, depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, then how can it operate? Only through ourselves. Will we permit these things to come in to disturb us in our daily walk? If they do, if they come in, they're going to come in. If we don't permit them, if we take to the Lord in prayer daily, shield me, Lord, from these things. Help me to do something rather than just to avoid something. Now, I like that. If there's something bothering us, maybe we can start a little project that will help us and forget all about it. Because nothing, the Lord will never leave nor forsake us. No, these gifts that are laid up are gifts from God, really the fruits of the Spirit, implanted in the new mind and reserved by God, or preserved, really, by our Heavenly Father. And if a faithful overcomer, that gifted new mind will be given a celestial body pleasing to Him. That's what we're striving for daily. James 1:17, we read, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. And then we read in Luke 11:9, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and that shall be opened unto you. An active course of a Christian. And, of course, these treasures become more real to us, and therefore more secure, we say, in heaven, but they're controlled by heavenly control, aren't they? That's where it's a heavenly, it's controlled there. As we recount them, we think on these things. Those are thoughts for the morrow. Thoughts for the morrow. The daily trials of faith, the Apostle Peter says, are more precious than gold that perisheth. These are precious promises reserved in heaven for you. See, my time is just about up. I'm trying to find something here to kind of wind up with. I think that there's another tower some thoughts I could read here. Of course, we realize that in reading over these promises, they are ours. And the Lord will do much more for us, even than we could ask or think. He's doing more for us daily. So many things are being done for us that we little realize. And so any acts of kindness done to one of the Lord's own, and done because of that fact, because they are the Lord's people, these are beautiful treasures laid up in heaven. And they're often costly ones. Like Brother said, if they don't cost us anything, that gift doesn't mean very much. If it's given out of an abundance, and it doesn't cost us anything. It's only with the eye of faith, of course, that we can estimate the value of these treasures. And when we compare it with the few short years that we are laying up these treasures, why, the comparison will be all on one side, actually. Because when we'll know that when we are taken beyond. So let us touch lightly the things of this earth, esteeming them only of trifling worth, not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us if we prove faithful. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust can corrupt. Then here's a short paragraph from February 1, 1914. Tower, from the time of making their full consecration to be the Lord's servants, and until faithful unto death in the service of righteousness, they will regard that heavenly kingdom as the great treasure beyond all comparison of value. They will seek it daily, hourly. Their hearts will be there with the treasure. It will be the theme of their thoughts by day, their meditation by night. Earthly occupations will still be necessary to them in order to provide things needful and honest, but no earthly prize will have any value in comparison to the heavenly prize in their estimation. Such will be the successful heirs of the kingdom which God hath promised to those that love Him more than they love houses, lands, parents, children, or self. May the Lord bless you.
Dear friends, I think we are blessed by this wonderful reminder of where our treasure is. If you remember in 1929 when the Great Depression came and the stocks went down, there was a lot of men committed suicide. Many went out of the mines. Their treasure was in their gold and it rusted and corrupted. Brother Lee has reminded us of a treasure that does not rust or corrupt. So we're thankful for this, Brother Lee, and may we lay this to heart and realize more and more that this wonderful treasure, as you said, is in the mind, this new mind that's being built up for that glorious eternity. Brother, close for prayer, Brother Lee, please.
Oh, our kind Father in heaven, humbleness of heart, we bow at thy throne of grace. We're thankful to thee for the joys of the truth, the knowledge of thy great plan of the ages, the privilege that we have of being called of thee and of walking in the footsteps of our blessed Savior. Thank you for every experience of life, especially today we're grateful to thee for this convention. Dear ones, have made it possible for us to gather together, knowing that thou hast overruled in our affairs that we can be here today. And we realize that how we need thee every hour to direct our paths. And we pray that we may have greater faith and trust in thee, daily striving to lay up those treasures in heaven, which are the fruits and graces of the Holy Spirit. Bless us here, we pray thee, for the further service this day, remembering our brethren, comfort the sick and afflicted. Bless all that are being used of thee as servants of thine, proclaiming the truth in any way. We ask all these favors now in the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' dear name.